Take your Bibles tonight, and let's go to Matthew chapter 7. While you're turning, let me make a few comments about our schedule. We would appreciate your prayers. We are involved in a number of things that are on our hearts. Number one, we would appreciate your praying about the sale of our home. It's been 2 years now since we moved to the new home to facilitate Ruth's mother, and we still have our old home, so we would appreciate your prayers for that. Our kids will all be coming the week after Christmas, and then Ruth and I will be most of January in Puerto Rico and St. Lucia. We'll be down with the Littles and also the Markles and Paula Venata. And then in February, I'll be there the bulk of that time in Ghana as well. So we've got a lot of traveling coming up. But this Sunday, we would appreciate your prayers. Ruth and I are driving over Saturday to North Carolina. I'll be preaching the commissioning service for Brandon and Laura Bowen, and that's a very exciting time. They're ready to go, and their church has asked me to come and do that. So looking forward to that, being there with Asher and Zara, and just a great time, we trust, by God's grace. Matthew chapter 7, I've entitled this little study tonight that we're going to do, Building on Life's Reliable Foundation. Matthew chapter 7, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll begin reading in verse 24. The Lord Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Let's pray together tonight as we open God's Word. Father, I pray this evening that you would take these wonderful scriptures and use them in our hearts tonight to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to challenge us, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would, in a wonderful way, help us to understand the importance of this, foundation, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are several reasons I think the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture for tonight. Ruth and I were doing a workout yesterday afternoon. We go at the end of the workday to the gym and do some treadmill work. And Ruth was on her treadmill, and Sherry sent her a text saying, "Pastor needed me to preach tonight." Sherry had tried to send it to me, but had the wrong phone number. So anyway, we worked it out. And so I started praying yesterday afternoon on the treadmill about what the Lord would have. And there were several considerations. Number one came to my mind. Pastor said Sunday, there aren't too many Christmas passages to preach from. So I did not want to steal one of his opportunities with a Christmas message. So we're not going there tonight. The second thing that came to my mind was that our theme this year has been listening to the words of Jesus. And I had been working through this passage recently. I'm actually doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount in the adult Sunday school class that I teach periodically. And this passage is the invitation. It's the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. So I was thinking about that, and then the thought struck me. The last time I preached in a main service here was September, and I preached on the passage immediately before this. And so there was even some continuity from the last message, which I'm sure all of you remember very well from that last time of preaching. But the real reason I think the Lord brought this home to me as I prayed about it yesterday through today is that it talks about storms. And we are in a world of storms here at our church and in our nation today. We have a storm of our pastor going through some physical problems. He told me recently all the times he's been to the doctor this year, and it kind of blew me away. We've had storms in many of our families. We've had deaths in families. We've had crises financially in some of our families. So there's lots of storms going on. And I'm sure most of you are aware there was an election here in Alabama yesterday. And Alabama's been in the focal point of political storms. But really, I think it's much bigger than Alabama and an election. Our nation is in a storm. But even that's not the reason I believe the Lord brought me to this passage. Because I believe the great storm today that we are facing is the storm of a world that hates Jesus Christ. And it is a storm that is growing in our land. I mean, many of the issues in the recent election, totally disregarding the allegations, were about the fact that one of the candidates actually believed the Bible. And one of the candidates was opposed to homosexuality. And one of the candidates held certain things that were Christian norms that most of us here would give our hearty consent to. And the world opposed that and makes a mock of that. And you and I are in a storm of the world opposing us. And as that storm grows and gets more severe, there will perhaps be some in this room tonight whose house will fall because they're built upon sand. And hopefully the vast majority of those of us here tonight, when we come to be with the Lord and the storms are all over, our houses will have stood because we are built upon a rock. And that's what this invitation of the Sermon on the Mount deals with. So let's talk about the Sermon on the Mount. I really like to refer to it as the Sermon of the King because it deals with kingdom principles, not only for this life, for believers in the church age, but for a future coming kingdom over which Christ will literally rule on this earth for 1,000 years. And it really deals with two issues. It deals with positional righteousness. We call that justification. And it deals with practical righteousness. We call that sanctification. The Lord Jesus, in the theme of this sermon, said it this way, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." He said, "I came not to overthrow the law, to do away with the law, but rather to fulfill the law." So Christ came to fulfill all righteousness. And it is not a superficial religious righteousness of the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. It is a heart righteousness that is imputed when we receive Christ as Savior and justification, and it is imparted to us as we walk with Christ in sanctification. So he's dealing with righteousness in this passage. So he comes to the end of this sermon, which covers chapters 5 through chapter 7, and he gives the invitation, and it's simply this. You have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Will I build my life on the sand and be a fool, or will I build my life on the rock and be wise? So with that tonight, we talk about building our life on a reliable foundation. One commentator talking about this invitation, his name was George Buttrick, said, after Christ presented this very dramatic, illustrative invitation of a house on the rock standing and a house on the sand crashing when the storm came, he said that each person went away with a crash of doom reverberating in his ears. And that person who heard Christ that day, as he spoke with authority, as the text said, not as the scribes, but rather having authority, they would have understood it was a personal call to them. So tonight I say to you, young person, this is Christ's authoritative message to you. I say to you, old person, tonight, this is Christ's authoritative message to you. I preach to myself tonight, this is Christ's authoritative message to me. We have to make a daily choice, a life choice, about how we're going to build our house. So tonight, we begin in the latter part of the passage. It's a little bit reversal, but I think it will help us to understand it a little better. We deal, first of all, with the wrong foundation of the fool, and then we will deal with the right foundation of the wise. So we begin in verse 26 as Christ talks about the foolish person. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, those are the words of Jesus. He's talking about listening to the words of Jesus. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You understand that Christ is using the imagery of the house here to speak of the life. And in this passage, as I preached back in September, Christ has just completed talking about the true way and the false way. Two gates, two ways you have to choose. So he begins with the one who chooses the wrong gate, who chooses the wrong way. We would call them the counterfeit Christian. They're the person who professes the righteousness of Christ, but it's not real. They have not received Christ, and they are not following Christ, though they would give religious credence to Christ. So notice some things about this. First of all, I want you to notice the deceptive activity of this counterfeit Christian. It says, everyone that heareth these sayings. Do you realize this person is listening to the words of Jesus? He's probably going to church regularly. He may even be reading his Bible. And he is building his life. His intention is reasonable. It says in verse 26, he built his house. That is normal. That is right. Every person in their human nature builds their house. That's a reasonable thing to do. His construction is respectable because we see the house, and though we know that Christ is saying it's built on the sand, looking at the house, you can't tell that. I mean, what the house is founded upon isn't able to be discerned with what we see. It is rather discerned by the storms that come. You know, if you have a house that's a brick home here in Huntsville and it's built under one of those caves underneath the ground that's going to collapse, you wouldn't see that just by looking at it. But when the cave gives way and the house collapses, it falls because it's built on a bad foundation. So this religious counterfeit Christian, he is doing something reasonable. He's building his life. That's commendable. And even the construction of his life looks good. You wouldn't necessarily know it by seeing him on Sunday that he was really a counterfeit. But the storms bear it out. And his foundation is unreliable because he has built upon the sand. Now, what's interesting about sand, I'll talk about a little bit more in a moment, is that the sand that is being spoken of is not a beach house, okay? We understand that. We're not talking about North Carolina and those houses that fall into the sea. We're talking about the sand of the Middle East. Christ is speaking to Jewish people. And he's talking about people who would build in places where there is the danger of a dry wash being flooded in the time of storms. And they build on the sand and not on a rock. And the whole point is that the foundation is unreliable, but it isn't discerned until the storm comes. So verse 26 talks about the defect. What is it? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Folks, the counterfeit Christian does not accept the truth of Christ, even though he gives lip service to it. He's not a saved person. He is not someone who applies the truths in Christ, though he may outwardly conform to them. He is a hypocrite. He is a counterfeit. He hears the words of Christ, and he doesn't do them. And it's going to show up when the storm comes. So let's look at the storm, verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now in this context, there are two types of storms or tests that come to every person. Not just to the counterfeit Christian, they really come to us as well. The first one is the present test of tribulation. John 16:33, our Lord told us in this world, you'll have tribulation. It's a reality. Folks, the trials, the storm that is breaking on our nation is going to affect lost people just like it will affect Christians. The financial storms, the physical storms, every man is subject to the storms, and there is a present storm that is going to come against us in our lives. It's called tribulation. Now, this storm that's referred to in this passage is not the hurricane that recently hit Puerto Rico. Ruth and I are going to be there in January. We weren't sure until about 2 or 3 weeks ago that the trip was going to come off. We bought our airline tickets about 2 weeks before the hurricane. And so we've been waiting to make sure they have power and we can go. But it's not that kind of storm. You can't look at it on the radar screen. The storm is actually something that happens out west, especially where my wife grew up in New Mexico. It's much like the topography of the land of Israel, where there are dry washes. If you look at a dry wash in Israel, or what we would call a hollow or a small canyon, it looks fine. There's no water around. It has a sandy base, and you really can't tell by looking at it if underneath that sand there is bedrock or not. And the house is built upon that sand in that little hollow, that little valley, and it looks pretty good. But then the storms come up in the mountains and the highlands, and the rain falls, the early and the latter rains Christ would have been familiar with, of course, the disciples would have known about. And when those rains suddenly come in that arid land, the water rushes down through the valley, and if the house is built on the sand, it will be washed away. So it's the sudden destruction of a trial, a test, a tribulation. You know, most of the storms in Israel come in the winter time. In the summer, you don't have much storm activity. It's pretty dry, and the house looks pretty good in the summer. When the sun is shining and everything's great, this counterfeit Christian's house looks pretty good. But when the winter of tribulation comes and the storms hit, the house is destroyed because the counterfeit Christian has not built his house upon Jesus Christ. And he'll be swept away. You know, in a sense, folks, tribulation has always been a good thing for the church because it really sorts out to some degree the wheat from the tares. Because the houses built upon the sand are borne away. It's interesting, I remember very well September of 2004, one of our missionaries, Rodney Fitzsimmons, serving in Haiti. That land, which has been basically deforested, has a huge flood problem, and they had really, really bad storms in the mountains of Haiti. And the town of Gonaive, where Rodney and Kathy Fitzsimmons served for over 25 years, was hit in 2004 by a flow of water and mud that was 12 feet high. And there were thousands of people killed in that city. You can go online and see the Google pictures of the city literally covered up in mud. And the story was told about one young believer who was there, and he was going through the city, and there was no warning, and this wall of mud and water came, and he and his friend were carried away, and the friend died. It happened that quick. And so we see that there is the present storm, but there's also implied in this storm a future test, and we won't spend much time here, our time's hastening, and that is the test of judgment, a judgment to come. Folks, the house will not stand in the day of the great white throne for the counterfeit Christian. But then notice the foundation of the righteous man. We've got to go to this in verse 24, the contrast. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. He's talking here about the genuine Christian, the one who has received his righteousness, the imputed righteousness that is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the imparted righteousness of walking with him in sanctification. That person's house will stand. And notice the parallels, the distinctive activity. This man's work is intentional and it is spiritual. He too is building a house, but he's building it according to God's plan and not his own. His construction is sound. He is following the design of the master architect. He built his house, and his foundation is secure because it is built upon a rock. Now, the geological strata of Galilee, which is where this message was being preached, we don't know the exact location of the Sermon on the Mount, but it's pretty sure that it was the place where we went when we were over there. It's at a place called Tagba. And when I was there on, I think, the second trip I went to Israel, I had the privilege of going to the base of this little mountain and reading the Sermon on the Mount to a group of people way up high. It's like a natural amphitheater. And that part of Galilee, the structure of the land geologically, that the entire area is covered with a thick layer of sand. But down deep underneath, there is granite bedrock. So Christ is talking in this passage and also in the parallel account in Luke's gospel about the wise man who digs down through the sand until he hits bedrock. And when he hits bedrock, he builds his house upon that. And when the winds and the rain and the storm, it's the same storm coming down through the dry wash, when it hits that house stands. Because it's built on the bedrock. The foundation is secure. You know, I had the privilege in 2016 of walking across the Great Bridge in New York City. It's the Brooklyn Bridge. It was called the Great Bridge. It was built in 1870. And the engineers to build that amazing marvel which connects New York City to Brooklyn had to go down 78 feet into and underneath the East River to lay the foundations on solid rock. And almost 150 years later, you can drive across that same bridge and it's very stable because it was built upon the rock. And that is exactly what's being spoken of here. So there are three concepts in this passage coupled with Luke that Christ speaks about. What does it mean to build your house upon the rock? Number one, it means to seek the truth that is in Christ. In Luke's parallel account of this sermon, Christ said, "Whosoever cometh to me." And that word come in the Greek is an action verb of deliberately seeking out the truth. It's the idea of digging down. Folks, you will not be a godly Christian by accident. You got to dig down and build your life on the rock. It is very active. It talks about seeking the truth in Christ. It talks about trusting the truth in Christ. Verse 24 says, "He that heareth these sayings of mine." And the idea of the word hearing there is not just the physical ear, but the receiving of the heart as well, the trust. And then it talks about living those truths, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." James said it this way, that faith without works is what? Dead. We're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith, but real faith will work. And it involves digging down and building on the rock. But then verse 25, and we've got to close. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, the house of the wise man, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Those same two tests I mentioned earlier, the test of tribulation. Folks, if you build your life on Christ, God will give you grace to go through any tribulation because you're founded on a rock. And that's what a wise person does. But also someday when we die and we stand before God, the just judgment of hell, which is our due, will go past us, and the waters and destruction of hell will flow past us because they've already been spent on Christ. If we're on the rock, they can't touch us. I was telling you the story about the believer in Gonaive, Haiti. He was a young man in one of the churches that Brother Rodney had planted, and he and his friend were caught in that muddy river 12 feet deep, and they were literally flowing down through the main street of town. He was swimming for his life, and he saw his friend die and be swept away right before him. But as he thought the end was almost near, a wave hit him and threw him up on top of a house, literally. And he sprawled there above the raging waters and lay wondering if he was going to live. But that particular house stood. You know why that house stood when all the other houses were crumbling around him? Because later they discovered that house was built upon a rock. And folks, you and I are in a storm of unbelievable proportions in this world. And our families and our individual lives will be swept away if we aren't real Christians. If we're only counterfeit, the storms will reveal it. So the choice is to make the decision to be founded upon a rock. I'm going to ask Brother Dirk to come and lead us in a closing hymn. 1834, a man named Edward Mote wrote the following words as his personal testimony. We're going to sing a couple of stanzas of this song in closing. This was his testimony. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that testimony was put to music, and we're going to sing it. Is that your choice tonight? You know, maybe you're here as a counterfeit Christian. You walk the walk and talk the talk, but it's all a sham. God is going to see to it that tribulation comes to your life to bring you to the end of yourself. And if you don't repent, your house will fall and be destroyed. But Christian, if you choose Christ and you follow Him, you hear His sayings and do them, you can be confident tonight. You can be encouraged no matter what the world throws at us. We are on a rock and we are secure. Let's stand together and sing two stanzas, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand.
411 if you need it, verses 1 and 2.